Welcome to the Higher Dimensions, and good afternoon and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We're so glad to have you on the show, and I hope you're ready and raring to go. This week we have Mr. Gary Wimmer. We finally got it together, haven't we, Gary?
Yes, we did. Tell us.
Hi. Gary Wimmer is from Texas, and he is a lithomancy. Is that right? The psychic art of reading stones. And
correct.
He's going to be writing a book about it. But he has had a heck of a life that is really fascinating, and the story that brought him here, I'd like you to share with our audience. So tell us, how did you get to where you are? You went through some incredible journeys.
Well, I suppose everybody's gone through an incredible journey to some extent. Did you mean how I got involved in lithomancy or just my life in general?
Just life in general, where it brought you to psychic abilities and everything else.
When I was young, I realized I had good intuition. Of course, I didn't know what it was. When I reached my 20s, I started reading about psychic phenomena, Edgar Cayce, Ruth Montgomery, Madame Blavatsky, and so forth, and realized that I did have everybody has a natural tendency for psychic ability. Some people have a little bit more, and some people study it more, and that was me. I had a marked ability, and I really looked into it and wanted to improve it. I started doing readings with cards and tarot cards and playing cards in the early 70s. And then in 1980, I met a very gifted psychic named Alice Warhol, who lives here in Austin. And she taught me a basic method of lithomancy, which is reading patterns in stones. And since then, I've used that for the last 29 years to give readings.
Let me ask you a question on that. Is that anything like runes? Like the runes on you, Lydia?
The runes have markings on them. It's believed that runes probably came from basic lithomancy, which is just the reading of stones. But lithomancy also can attribute to leaves and other objects that you drop and form into a pattern. The runes came from this because they wrote inscriptions on stones after they, I guess, learned to write, I suppose. You know.
Yeah, because the runes came from the Scandinavian area. Originally,
yeah. There's not a whole lot of history on lithomancy. It's believed that it's gone all the way back to the caveman days. It's probably one of the older methods of reading, but there's not much history on it as opposed to palmistry, astrology, and runes, for example. It's very clouded in mystery. I tried to do a fair amount of research on it, and there just wasn't a whole lot of information on it.
Wow. That's interesting, because I think most of the people that are listening to our shows are not familiar with it. And,
well, it's a very unknown art. I learned it, like I said, from this lady named Alice Warhol, and I really liked it because it gives a three-month, it covers a three-month period, and often longer, and it addresses so many different issues and how they interrelate with each other. It's very broad in one sense, but it can be very focused on another. It just covers a lot of area, and sometimes when I do readings, I can spend up to an hour just reading one pattern.
Wow.
Because I see layer upon layer of information, some dealing with past lives and other people and all sorts of things start coming out. So it's a very intriguing and very interesting and a very intuitive art. So I was drawn to it, and I hope to be able to expand knowledge of it because it's a very neat system. It's very interesting, fascinating.
Okay. Would you say it's a portal to your unconscious awareness?
Yeah, it is. It is a most people think of a medium as a person. The term medium actually was originally attributed to the technique they were using, the tool, the medium. So I see lithomancy as a medium. But then again, if you have the ability to read signs, you can read anything. You can read birds flying across the sky, anything. Information is always everywhere in the universe. It's whether we pick it up or not. This happens to be a particular method to focus on 3 months. But yeah, you could read anything if you teach yourself to read symbols.
Yeah, I have a teacher, Carol Ann Liaros, who teaches this at the ARE with Dr. Henry Reed, psychic development, and she's been known to sit in a chair someone has sat in before and read with her rear end.
Right. No, it's true. It's true.
I'm sorry, that's just a visual that I just love.
The information out there, it's how we access it, and there's as many different ways to access it as there are people and souls and possibilities.
Okay, I agree with you 100%. On your own journey, you had last time we spoke, and the time before that, you fascinated me with this trip that you took, or this into an altered universe, an altered space, the 70s, and that you are still seeking and learning from that period of time. Is that correct?
That is true. I had a very phenomenal, unfortunate experience in the late 70s, actually 1977. Sort of out of the clear blue, I all of a sudden started becoming incredibly psychic about everything all the time. And after about a day or two of this and no sleep, I couldn't even imagine what normal life was like, mundane existence. Everything was like seeing your own subconscious at work all the time. And it got heavier and heavier and more intense, and it was not something I experienced in my own bedroom, of my own privacy, of my own life. It's something all people around me were getting concerned about and aware about. And I kept feeling like I was being guided somewhere, taken somewhere, and I didn't know how or by who or why. And then after about a week of this, to cut a long story short, in the midst of praying and crying because I didn't understand what's happened, I was involved in a head-on collision as a pedestrian. And in the moment I hit the car, I went out through this tunnel of light. I expanded in all directions, like the surface of a balloon as opposed to an arrow going in one direction.
Right.
An incredible experience. And I felt like I just went outside the complete created universe, the physical universe, and went through this tunnel of light, as they say, and ended up in this perfect, beautiful, unbelievable, but yet believable, mind of God. And as soon as I realized I was witnessing it, I was drawn back. Bam, I ended up back in the street with ambulances and police and so forth. And I saw so many flashcards, like spinning newspapers, like the old Superman movies, as I was coming back. And at the time I was coming back from this experience, I didn't even know I existed. But the closer I got to Earth, I thought, I have something to do with this planet. And then, of course, when I saw my body, I recognized myself and jumped back in and was completely both shocked and in awe and the most incredibly elated, enlightening feeling I've ever had in my life. The experience that affects me to this day, I still see some of these flashcards that I saw 30-plus years ago. And throughout my life since 1977, I've seen many of them. I often don't recognize what they mean until they... until I'm in a situation that is symbolic of the or directly related to the flashcard I saw. So yeah, it still affects me to this day, very profoundly and heavily. And I feel very lucky for having experienced this.
A lot of people might not have survived this. It was the most unusual and unique situation, and I just wanted people to understand that. Now, I know that they're interested, and you are interested, in talking more about lithomancy, is that it?
Lithomancy,
Lithomancy. Okay. It doesn't trip off all my tongue quite as easily as it trips off yours.
Well, it's kind of clumsy.
Pardon?
I was going to say, it's kind of clumsy. I used to call it lithomancy until I looked in the dictionary, and I was, the accent's on the first syllable.
Well, that's what I thought, lithomancy. Yeah, right. But at any rate, you might describe it, and did you want to... now, people, you can call in for a reading, a brief one. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'll do some brief ones because 3 months period, there's just so much to say.
Time.
Cut it down to
basics. It'll just be a brief one. So if people call in, remember you can only ask one, possibly two questions. And they have to be brief because of time constraints in our show here, okay? But you're certainly welcome to call in. The number is 1-888-815-9756. I think that's the number, if I can still see right. Anyway, so do one for me. I've had some really interesting dreams lately, and it's about one, I can tell you, was about I was with people, and all of a sudden my car was stolen. Now, in dream interpretation, the car represents your body, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The car
mm-hmm.
was stolen and hijacked or whatever, and that left me without a way to get around. And then what I decided in my dream was, well, if the car is stolen, I'll just have to get another one. It was no big deal. It was just more of a nuisance than anything else. And I was thinking in my mind, well, I'll just rent a car. And then I'm thinking, I wonder what kind I should get. And, you know, it was going through my mind, and then I woke up. And I'm thinking, well, I hope that doesn't mean that I'm leaving this body and I'm looking for my next one. And I didn't get the sense that it was that at all. The other one were two dreams about a house. And again, I was leaving the house where I actually am now and was in a new house and being asked to move to a new house. Well, the first dream had a gorgeous house. It could almost be a grandiose house, but I was there with my mother and one of my daughters, and my mother's deceased, and it was a gorgeous house with a lot of room to expand. It was a very beautiful place, very elegant, and had a fountain and a fish pond in the foyer, which that's quite my cup of tea, exactly. That's not how I would have a foyer. But anyway, it was very, very nicely done, and I could redo it. And the last one had the same thing, only with an older house, and it was very large, and I was moving to or asked to move to a new place to give it a shot and so forth and so on. So what would you say to that? What can you get from that with the stones?
The dream seemed to, especially the one with you, with family and expanding house, that seems like an expanded, to my feeling, an expanded consciousness, an expanding of,
right.
Like the deeper ties, beyond the, obvious, the superficial.
Okay.
It seems like you're opening your, soul house to include other people on a, more expansive basis. They're already included anyway.
Right.
But, it certainly seems like a connection to a larger pool of connections with other souls, with other people.
Mm-hmm.
The house of the one where you're losing your car seems like it's transporting you to places that your body can't go.
Oh,
like
okay.
Other realms of consciousness.
Okay.
Showing you
sense.
Things. Yeah, it's like you have to shed the car to get in here or
yes.
something to that effect.
You gotta park the car in the garage, yes.
Right. Okay. Yeah, this trip is mental and spiritual. It's not no luggage required.
Okay. Got it.
That's
okay.
Just my gut feeling. But then again, dreams can, there's so much symbolism in dreams that they can be interpreted a lot of ways. You might interpret it one way, a dream interpreter might interpret it another way, and there's probably truth to both, just like there's truth, there's all sorts of opinions and truths on any subject, you know.
I absolutely, it was the housing, what concerned me was leaving the body behind, and I like your interpretation because that's not one I got. It may be just a new way of thinking things through. That was a possibility. But the other was, go ahead.
I was going to say, leaving the body, it's a very enlightening experience. Even at death, there's a lot of people who fear death, and from one who's kind of been to the other side, there's no fear of death. Death is not something to fear, nor is leaving the body. This is the challenge. This year on this three-dimensional world now is the challenge, not at our most vulnerable time of either death or when we take a trip, altered consciousness, either through astral projection, through dreams, or through sort of just quirks, what happened to me. But, even the body, it feels haunting because you feel like you're naked, you're stripped, you don't have any power. But ironically, you have very broad vision. You don't have an ego that's weighing you down.
Right.
You have ultra-sensitive eyes and spirits and souls and so forth, but they're all non-physical. So, leaving the body is a great experience, you know. It really is, especially death. I've seen a lot of people who fear death, and I go, I don't fear death. That's the least they fear.
I know.
That's the release. a vacation from this chaos that we have to deal with here, you know.
Tell me about it. Yes, yes, I agree with you 100% on that. I've had near-death experiences, and I've had experiences where I've been taken out of the body to be shown something, to re-educate.
Right.
But,
and they're pretty light experiences, and they stay with you.
Yes, these things, when you have that, I think that that's part of your soul course or lesson, and that it is so powerful that it does stay with you and changes you. It changes.
Correct.
For me, it's a life-altering, and that's how you can tell the difference between a vision and just a dream. It's whether
right.
or not it changes you on a core, deep emotional level. And that's
well,
what people ask me.
Most people have had those kind of, most people have had those kind of experiences throughout history. Most of them, I don't know the percentage, but I'd guess 95%, 99% talk about how enlightening it is.
Yes.
How revealing it is, how it changed
yes.
your lives, how they feel better, as opposed to scared the hell out of them and I don't want to go there again. You don't hear that
right.
much. You know?
No. And even in near-death experiences in when you have surgery. Yes, we have a caller. Hello. Welcome to the Higher Dimensions. Who's calling?
Hi, Phyllis. This is Pat calling.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm much better, thank you. Much better than last week, thank you.
Oh, good, I'm glad.
Okay, go ahead. You have a question, go ahead.
I'm not at home, so I'm not been listening to the radio. You have a guest, but I'm not sure what the topic is.
Okay, Gary Wimmer is a really gifted psychic, and he uses stones called the Thaumancy. And it is able to give readings for 3 months in advance, but because of the time constraints of the show, he can only answer one question. So if you can have a question available for him, feel free to ask it, and he'll see what he can find out.
Okay.
Well, let me throw this in. If I do one question, I'll use playing cards. If they want a 3-month reading, I could do one, but it'll be about 2 or 3 or 4 minutes. It'll be fast. I don't have the time to cover the details.
Right.
So
okay.
I can either ask a specific question with cards or a 3-month reading, kind of fast, with lithomancy. So I'll leave it up to your caller to what to their choice.
What would you like to do?
I'd love to. I'll try a 3-month reading.
Okay. Well, it'll be kind of fast because we don't have a time. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to say. I'm ready in just a second. I'm going to be moving these stones over the circle of leather. And when you hear me say I'm ready, you say drop anytime you feel it's appropriate, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
All you have to say is drop. And hold on just a second. I'm going to tune in to you. You tune in to me. And I'm ready. So anytime you want to say drop.
Okay, drop.
Okay. Okay, so there's a lot of change going on in your life right now, along with opportunity. A lot of having to do with love and relationships. I'm never surprised to see that with women, but it's very strong right now in yours. At the top of the reading is both Venus and the Commitment Stone, which reemphasizes that it has a lot to do with balancing out relationships and commitment. So even though there's a lot of change going on, this is a real good time for you to reestablish how you feel, to try new approaches about your attitude toward love, how you feel about it, how other people respond to it, that sort of thing. In the next, say, 2 to 3 to 4 weeks, you're going to be dealing with a lot of these changes in your attitude with love, in how you express it and how you connect with people. This affects you on both a personal and a business relationship, in both areas of your life. With Jupiter here, there's a lot of expansion. So even though there's a lot of change and uncertainty you're feeling, there's so much opportunity for expansion that it's a very beneficial time for you. Now, that's during the 3rd and 4th and 5th week, there's going to be a lot of things coming to the surface that you're probably aware of already about relationships and about opportunities, I mean, relationships and balance and commitments. But it's also a time for you to really readdress and transform. This is because of Pluto. Pluto's given a lot of strength to transform. It's taking things from the deep subconscious, things that hurt, things that have to be addressed, and bringing it to the surface so they can be addressed. So you're having that coming in about the second, third, and fourth week, even though it's, you feel parts of it now, it will be increasing. And with the Mercury spell next to it, that's giving the opportunity to communicate about it. So whether it's talking to other people or talking to the people who've been there, causing you the frustration, the grief, the things that need to be settled, very strong for you in using communication skills. Now, by the fifth week, and again, I'm going fast because I only have a few minutes, by the fifth week, you have Mars, the timing stone, the sun stone, all next to the circle here, which is showing that there's a man that helps you. I'm not sure if it's the man you're interested in right now or working with, but there's a man who's helping you, that's empowering you, and there's also a lot of your personal projects going forward very well at that time. You're able to take on new things, start new projects. And the new projects you're starting the fourth and fifth week, the new starts are giving you a lot of long-term hope and aspirations for what you want in the future. By the seventh and eighth week, there's a lot of luck for you. This is because you've decided to transform those things that are coming to the surface now about love, about hurt, about things that have to be rectified. So you've got a lot of very, very good lucky circumstances in the seventh, eighth, and ninth week through the rest of this three-month period. Now, outside the circle, you've got the play stone, you've got moon, you've got the life stone, Saturn, and Neptune. So this is showing long-term growth emotionally in a very empowering way as far as stability at your place, as far as what you want at your in your life, as far as where you want to go. So it starts with you addressing the very things that it depends on most right now, which is the relationships, commitments, and feel empowered about the changes you feel in love rather than frustrated, because it's given you a real chance to expand beyond the pain that you felt and the frustration into transforming yourself to a very effective and positive and person whose efforts come back the way you expect rather than backfire. And you'll start noticing a lot by the fourth and fifth week. That's pretty quick, but that's what's going on in the next 3 months. Does it make sense to you, sweetheart?
It makes absolute sense, and I, in fact, am about to do some work with Phyllis about all of what you talked about. I will take the advice to feel empowered. I'm very scared because I literally am trying to transform my life. And
don't be scared. Be empowered. Be empowered,
yeah.
Sweetheart. Turn that fear into trusting God and trusting your wisdom. And going forward, transforming from fear to empowerment, that's what's going on with you right now. Don't be afraid. Easier said than done, but if you start
yes.
applying this, you'll find yourself empowered rather than afraid.
Yes.
That's about all
yes,
the time
yes,
I can spend, I think, Phyllis, so that's three
right.
months and 5 minutes or less.
Pretty good. I am so glad for you, Pat.
Thank you. If you could just give me the website before I hang up.
Sure.
It's GaryWimmer.com. That's GaryWimmer.com. That's my homepage. You can click on my psychic link from my homepage or go to GaryWimmer.com/psychic, PSYCHIC. GaryWimmer.com, GaryWimmer.
Thanks so
okay.
much. Bless you, Phyllis. Bless you both,
sure.
Phyllis. I'll talk to you next week.
Excellent, Dave. Glad to
Thanks.
Talk to you. Have a good day, honey.
Take care.
You there. Bye-bye. She's from New York. I had forgotten to ask, but I know she's from New York. Anyway, thank you. Okay. Oh, we have another caller. Welcome to the Higher Dimensions. Who's calling?
Hi, this is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. Welcome to the Higher Dimensions. Where are you calling
Hi,
from?
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Fine. Where are you calling from, dear?
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm calling from California.
Well, that's a good state. You have a question for Gary. What
you.
Can we do for you?
Oh, well, I like what you just did for the last caller, the 5 minutes and 3 months thing.
Okay.
If I could take that, that would be great.
3 month reading, is that correct?
Yes.
Is that okay. Again, it'll be kind of fast because 3 months in 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes is just going to hit on some basics. But,
I understand.
When I say I'm ready, you say drop anytime you feel it's right, and I'll drop the stones and just start reading, okay?
Okay.
You have to say the word drop, dear.
Okay. I'm ready. Anytime you want to say drop.
draft.
Okay. All right. This is showing you transforming from an era of Pluto. Again, is a very effective right now. It's bringing you into transformation and healing. The first couple weeks have a lot to do with you communicating about things about the home, about your place, about attitudes, approaches, almost like delegating things to be done. There's a lot of change in your emotions right now with both Uranus and the Moonstone. But with this strong change of emotions, you're finding a lot of love in your life being able to be worked out. A new view to it, but also there's a male that's affecting your commitments, your even both personal and job wise, and I think you use some sort of very like interesting techniques to be able to bring these relationship issues to a balance by about the fifth and sixth week because of where the Venus stone is. Now, the Luck Stone, Life Stone, Jupiter, Neptune are all lining up from the center of the clock to 6 o'clock. So that's giving me a very strong indication that not only are you expanding on things, you're able to see a lot of your hopes and aspirations. You're also able to see a lot of things that have been where you've been disillusioned, and you're able to turn things around into positive belief systems that you can trust rather than things that you're not sure about. That's a process that's going on with you. Because of Saturn and Pluto, where they lie, I see that in this three-month period, probably more so by the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th week, you've reformatted the way you look at grief, the way you look at problem-solving, the way you look at frustrations, and you've turned them into practical methods rather than emotions bouncing off the wall. By the 10th, 11th, and 12th week, there's a lot of empowerment to you because of the Sun and the Magic Stone, which are putting you in a position to not only feel pretty healed from a lot of the Pluto's effects, but also be able to help other people and to be able to go beyond your environment. Somehow it empowers you to go beyond your environment, whereas right now in the first week or two, it has you dealing directly with your environment in your home place. So there's several circles in here which are showing continuity, things complementing each other, working for each other. Does that make sense to you in very short terms?
Yes. Okay.
Start with the house and the communication. You're going to end up to be able to go very beyond that once you get these issues settled out. But you have a lot of luck here and a lot of opportunity about the 5th to 6th, 7th week that's really going to help you by the 11th week feel quite empowered, able to take on new charges. The home takes care of itself now. You've put things in order, and you can stretch beyond your environment. That's what I'm seeing very basically for the next 3 months. Make sense to you?
Yeah, that was great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Okay. I'm glad you gave contact information, Gary. Give it again, just so people can know this for those who want to reach you.
My phone number, if you want to call, is 512-707-0836. 512-707-0836. Website is GaryWimmer.com, GaryWimmer.com. Go on my psychic link or go to GaryWimmer.com/psychic. Gives you all sorts of information about how I do this, how I learned about it, parts of my book on there, and so forth.
Fabulous. Okay. Well, keep calling because we have more time yet. Meanwhile, I think it's absolutely fabulous, and I'm tickled pink about all that's happening. And, I have sort of an internal machine, if you will, that tells
mm-hmm.
me that sort of switches on, and I don't know what triggers it, but all of a sudden today I started feeling really good after that fall I told you about when I really did damage to my leg, but it's really amazing how that's healed in this past week. It's really fast healing, but what happened is that I today when I got up, all of a sudden I felt fit, I don't know, there's an expression my mother used to say, fit to take on the world, and I've been cleaning and doing and so forth and so on, and whenever I get that fit that comes over me, that inspiration, whatever it is, something tremendously good is going to happen soon. And that's my trigger, and I don't know what starts it. I don't know what it is. That's pretty natural in a cycle of events of people's lives, isn't it? That they respond unknowingly to something.
And you hit on a very interesting word, trigger. I use that word in my book a lot because by looking at stone patterns, they trigger me to connect a stone laying in a particular place with the meaning behind it. Triggers is very important. Things do trigger your psychic ability to kick in. Yes, indeed. Perfect word.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just wondering what's going to happen because it was such a strong thing today that I've been hobbling around, and even today there was absolutely no pain, which is amazing because according to the doctor, it was supposed to take several weeks if I were lucky and months more likely. And I just looked at him and said, nah, I'm not going to be laid low that long. It just doesn't work for me to do that. But so I don't know what's coming. I just know that I'm following my instincts and doing what I have to because something good, really good, is going to come within this next week or so. Can you tell me anything like that? Is there anything very quickly, a card or something that'll verify that?
About what's happening positive in the next week or two?
Yep.
Okay, I'll just draw some cards on that and tell you what I feel, okay?
Okay.
First of all, you've got a very strong supporter. Are you married?
No.
No?
Divorced since 82.
Okay, it seems like there's a very strong supporter behind you, a male supporter in some form. I'm not exactly sure he is. But he's giving you encouragement on moving forward with not only some of your projects, but some of your spiritual balancing out, and also seems to provide a financial opportunity. Yeah, the Two of Diamonds and the King of Diamonds are both connecting with a financial opportunity, and it looks like you're finishing up a lot of things so you can take use of this new opportunity. I'm not sure in the 2 weeks we're talking about, it'll actually kick into play, but you're planting seeds for it, and you're connecting about it. There's a lot of both Ten of Clubs, Six of Clubs are implying finishing off one set of affairs so you can take on another set of responsibilities. And this helps you with the Three of Diamonds develop a more stable financial situation, even though with the Eight of Diamonds you're having to bring some things to conclusion, whether it's deals or salaries or whatever, you're having to not spin in circles, stop the spinning in circles, turn it into very defined terms. Looks like there's a lot of emotional satisfaction with you with the Eight of Hearts in having accomplished what you're accomplishing the next couple of weeks, especially the fact that you're able to take on more responsibility with less effort, less drain. And it's setting up with the Four of Spades a new scenario for you in the future as far as building stability. Does that sort of make sense to you?
That makes sense. That makes sense. The nursing program, I'm hoping will come through. They're working on getting funding for it. You know, a lot of stuff is going on. Nothing concrete yet. But it was just, this has always happened before something good happens, is that get my house in order.
Right. It did feel like there's support there for you, whether it's investors or support. King of Clubs came up again, so it is people helping you. I got a feeling you're going to get this support and financing together. Even if it doesn't become apparent day one, you'll be planting seeds for it, and you're developing partnerships for it to continue with the Two of Clubs. So
right.
It's a continuing
thing. Yes, partnerships. Wonderful. Well, ladies and gentlemen, please feel free to call in. I'd like to have some gentlemen to call in. I do know I have some gentlemen listeners, so I'd like them to call in, too. But feel free to call in and talk, because Gary is really very good. He is indeed good, and I think you would enjoy getting a good reading from this nice gentleman. So tell us a little bit more about you individually and your journey until some other people call in. Talk more about your journey in life, and besides being psychic all your life and having that really interesting accident, I guess, it's something that I
well,
think...
Well, I've been...
Go ahead.
I've been a musician most of my life. I graduated electrical engineering degree in Vietnam War and decided rather than being part of the very industry that I was protesting against, I'd play music, which I'm not sure was the wisest economic step, but I did get to travel all the United States and through Europe and so forth playing music. I still play music a little bit more, but my back's a little sore. I don't want to move equipment so much. Obviously, I never made it rich and famous. I'm still one of the working musicians. Uh-huh. So in the last couple years, I'm moving more and more into doing psychic readings because, to be honest with you, that's the best thing I can contribute to the world. There's a lot of music that do good music, and there's a lot of good actors, a lot of good writers, but there's very few people who read stones, and I want to expand knowledge of this methodology, because basically, expanding knowledge of this methodology, I hope will connect people with the fact that you can see symbolism and truth in everything. You train yourself to do that. And that's sort of my goal, because I've trained myself because of, I guess, a few cosmic hints along the way that said, this is a good ability for you, you're good at it, move forward with it.
Right.
So my real goal is to help make a better world, to leave more on the table than was there when I came. And it has more to do with my psychic ability and my ability to inspire people to hopefully see the truth buried in the symbols rather than my own success as a musician or a writer, as an actor. Those are things I'm interested in, but the older I get, the more it seems like my ability to spread knowledge of this psychic technique and of the fact that symbolism and seeing it in life is such a helpful process, to show that to the world. That's my best contribution. It's the thing I'm most unique at, and it's probably the thing that the world needs more of, you know. a little more psychic connect, a lot more love, a lot more compassion.
Well, yes, I'm going to have to say that with you. Each of us are here to do something that no one else can do, and that is to contribute mightily to the knowledge and wisdom and understanding of mankind and our place in history. And each of us is supposed to fulfill a position that nobody else can fill. And that's
true.
I think that's really fascinating.
At these times, like other times, we're in very, very interesting times, whether you want to say that the second coming of Christ or the New Age or the Mayan 2012.
Right.
It's all pointing toward the world individually and collectively moving toward higher consciousness. Now, those that see that unfolding and can participate are helping. Those who don't see that and fight it are just going to have to, it's more weight to carry because it's happening whether you like it or want or know about it. So it's part of the next process, because as a world society, we cannot continue to go on with selfish goals. They ain't working.
It's not been working how many centuries, how many millennia?
Right.
Okay. I think that's marvelous. And you mentioned you were writing a book. So is this going to be a how-to book, or do you give seminars or lectures, or how do you plan to do this?
It's a how-to book my editor is helping me edit it. I tend to be a little redundant, and thank God she's cutting out my redundancy, pointing it out to me. But the first section of the book has to do with psychic phenomena and religion and spirituality, how they've intertwined, how they've been completely different things, and how they've been connected throughout history. The second chapter deals with the stones, what the 16 stones represent, gives you a complete definition. The third chapter, which is the tricky one to write, is about how to interpret patterns in stones. And I come up with everything I can think of that's ever hit me as far as seeing signs and symbols and how stones interrelate. And throughout this part of the book, I've debated with my editor about this, but I've decided to notify the reader that I'm using a lot of qualifiers like could, may, should, might, perhaps, so that when someone sees this stone next to this stone in my example, it doesn't lock them into that precise definition.
Exactly, because then it becomes rote, and it sucks what I call the life out of something. It becomes so frozen in time that it makes no sense.
And the examples I'm drawing in the book are just, they're not connected to a person. They're just random examples that I use to illustrate how to look at it. When it connects with a person, it takes on a complete different frame of reference, of course, because there's an actual life behind it rather than just a computer program to to show you how to look at things. But basically what I'm trying to do in the book is educate people how to educate themselves, how to see symbols, how to see connections, how to use the layout of the arrangement, the pattern, as just a key to delve into the issues behind them. Because nobody cares if your moon's in Scorpio or if this stone is next to that stone. They want to know what it means. And that's what I'm trying to get in the book, is look at this and then find out what it means. And it could mean this or this or this or this or this, or it could mean something completely different. But use your intuition.
Anything leads you into that. While you were speaking, all of a sudden something just clicked in my mind. I want to throw it out to you. Remember when you said you thought it was the oldest form of readings back to cavemen? What just hit my mind was tossing the bones. That expression.
Right, it used to be related to that,
And that makes sense because, you see, that's what they used to do in the very primitive societies, were to throw bones. And that's what just got to me. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but if I don't catch it, I've gotten to that age, if I don't catch it and tell you now, it's going to be gone forever.
I understand, Stuart. I do understand. No, but of course, a lot of that was found by archaeologists. Unfortunately, they didn't leave a book about what they're studying and how, so we had to
There were no books to explain it.
No DVDs left in the caves.
No TVs left in the caves. You're absolutely right. That's funny. Anyway, I think it's fabulous. Well, what do you think is coming? Can you do something as generic as, say, how do you think the economy is going to go in the next 3 months? Can you do a reading on that? Or is that not?
I'll tell you what I feel without even doing a reading, because I've been studying this. We're in a big transition.
Right.
We're in a major transition from the abuses of completely free, unregulated capitalism, which has caused this big problem, back from Massachusetts 30 years ago. Obama got a real pile of crap laid on him when he took office, unfortunately. That's about the best way I can explain it. He's doing the best he can.
We all know that. Anybody who took over would have had a pile of crap, no matter who it was.
Oh, it's just complete mess. So it's going to take, you know, it's going to take years to come out of this, unfortunately, because there's no quick way to employ all these people and come up with the money other than one of two things, either private industry getting the jobs or government supplying the jobs, and neither of them are having a whole lot of effect right now, but they will. So, yes, I'm an optimist in the long run, but it is not going to be something that's going to turn around and be completely like it was 5-8 years ago with laissez-faire, everybody rich and happy. We've gone through that period. We're going into a completely different period of both capitalism, social concerns, heightened awareness, world consciousness. So what we're going into is different than where we've been. We're not going to go back to where we've been. That doesn't mean we can't have a prosperous economy and a lot of new jobs. For example, we're going to have to go into green jobs. We're going to have to go into social health work. We're going to have to go into a lot of things that make our system work for the benefit of most people rather than just a handful of few, because that's why we're in this mess.
Right.
You know? It was completely, completely avoidable.
It was, but there were too many people thinking only of themselves and not the best in the long-term interests of many people. And that, I agree, has to change.
Yeah, it'll change. It's a slow, painful progress. I guess the best thing one can say about it is to those people who have lost their homes and have kids in college, and I mean, it's just brutal. The best I can say is, number one, have faith, and number two, look at what it's turning you on to, because the real process in life, the real, real thing that matters is our spiritual evolution. And we can do that whether we're multi-billionaires or whether homeless people on the street. Now, that doesn't sound like a very enticing scenario, the homeless person on the street, but there's a lot of people who have had a lot of very heavy changes in their life and come out to be avatars for mankind, you know. So I'd best suggest to people to be patient, and if things change, if you end up with considerably less than you wanted to, look at how much you can gain with your connection to God. That's the most important thing, to your connection to universe and to fellow man and to spirituality. The practical side of the economy, it's going to be tough. It's taken 30 years for these massive deficits to get to the point they are. And, you know, we should have been not having this all along, you know.
Right. Well, the warnings were simply ignored. I mean, there were warnings, I remember. You know, I remember I was, before I had my office in downtown D.C., and the American Bankers Association was in the building, and I always thought of, you know, and I was always a little uneasy. But the thing is, when I heard about banks being deregulated and that they could go into doing everything they want and they could buy other banks and they could do this and that, and the first thing out of my mouth was, that is, whoa, the biggest mistake they could have done. And I heard how big banks were going, I said, they're going to implode. And that's what they've done. They've implode on, and that was a lesson from the Great Depression in the 20s. They get so large that they fall. Any institution can get so large that it will fall under its own weight. And why people don't keep understanding that, I do not know. It's as like they go around with a duh, you know, you can hear it's in my tone of voice. I am so annoyed when they are trying to get hospitals larger and institutions larger. And, it's less efficient. It becomes more bureaucratic the larger it gets. It doesn't create efficiency. It does the exact opposite. And it creates more problems than it cures. End of lecture. Sorry.
I lived in Denmark for all during the 90s, and it's the highest taxed country in the world. And they are some of the most enlightened people in the world because their priorities are different. They see life much more in terms of helping their neighbor, helping their friend, make sure their country works, make sure nobody's homeless or hungry. And that's their real dedication. And as a musician, I was playing for a lot of rich people over there. They cannot understand how a country like ours can have homeless people, can have hungry people. And sure, they got 5 million people, we got 300 and some odd million. But it starts with their consciousness. And capitalism is a good system as far as getting things started, innovation and so forth.
Yeah.
But when it's uncontrolled, it would work perfect if it wasn't for greed. But unfortunately, greed is there. And as long as greed is there, you have to have regulation because someone's going to steal all the money out of the bank, just like Bernie Madoff or Enron, all these people. And it's going on again with the higher salaries with borrowed money from us, the taxpayer. So you have to regulate because people are not, the people are greedy.
They're not behaving themselves. I agree with you. Anyway, I didn't mean to get into a political rant. But so you think the economy is going to improve in this coming year? That's what I'm trying to get out of.
Yeah, it's going to improve, but it's not going to. We're not going to go back to 6% unemployment in the next year unless either government really creates jobs in the private industry. And right now they're both on check. Nobody wants money to spend from the government, and private industry is not loaning money to private little businesses. They're keeping it and speculating and making more money and paying high exec salaries. So as long as we still have greed and we still have inefficiency and we still have basically stupidity, and that's got to change.
Yeah, it's got to change. You're right. It absolutely has to change. Well, I think what
people are feeling it to the point they want something more fair, and we realize that runaway capitalism without being controlled doesn't help anybody except the top 5%. Everybody else has been screwed by it, you know.
I agree, but you know, it's still the better system of most places, and there is a lot of innovation, and there is hope, I think, coming down the pike on this.
It's just a matter of balance. It's a matter of balance, really, more than anything. Capitalism is a great system. It brings out great things, but it needs to be balanced with honesty, integrity, fairness, and concern for fellow man.
And that's what it's supposed to have been to begin with, wasn't it?
That's what every religion talks about, every spiritual concept talks about. That's the essence of what godliness is about.
So do you see a change in the U.S., towards this consciousness of raised or heightened spirituality?
I definitely do.
You do.
I've always thought that the U.S.'s new role in leadership is not in economic, military, or political power. And I saw this 25, 30 years ago when I told you about seeing the flashcards and seeing the change in society. I saw this economic downfall. I thought it was in the Reagan years. Nope. Thought it was in the Bush senior years. Nope. Thought it was in Clinton years. Nope. Thought it was in the Bush years. Yep. That's when it started. Not blaming Bush just by himself, but I could see this coming. So what I also saw, and I think we are evolving in this direction, is we're going to have so many social conflicts and struggles over the next couple of years. I mean, we can see it now, whether it's politics or money and so forth. We're going to come out of this a very enlightened nation, but it is going to be kind of messy because we're having to strip away a lot of our preconceived notions about we're better than anybody else and we deserve more because we're Americans and we're right because it says this in the Bible and we interpret this way. We've got to become much more aware, much less selfish, and that is going to be our strong point in the future. I think we're going to show the rest of the world how to deal with what is basically a social, political, and economic catastrophe turning into a very positive, enlightened way to go about life, way to run our society. And it's not going to happen overnight. I think it's a generational process, you know, 10, 20 years, something like that. But we are on the start of it because we can't go on the way we have been.
Right.
It's not going to work.
Right. I'm very optimistic, too, that things are going to get better, and it is going to take a little longer. And I think that a lot of money is going to be lost in the process, i.e. it's not going to get to the people that it belongs to be, that it should be getting to. But that's part of the growing process, too, because you're going to have brakes put on a lot of people who have gotten away with not governing themselves properly and or not
right.
Keeping oversight and keeping that sacred, what I call a sacred trust.
True.
At any rate, I do feel that this coming year is going to be better than 2010. It's going to be
better. We've stopped the bleeding. We just have to turn it into a productive system. And one thing we have to learn, this one thing I noticed a lot about the Danish people and Europeans in general, they're much less... they're not consumers. They don't care to have all these things in their lives. We do. We're Americans. We like our big TVs, big cars, all stuff. And,
gadgets.
Right. Where the real, the things we ought to identify as most important are the soul, are the friends,
right.
Are helping people, are the real concepts that most religions and spiritual precepts are based on, not how big is your TV or your car or your house. I mean, it's just crap.
Mm-hmm.
It's just stuff. It has nothing to do with spirit. Another thing I think is kind of ironic, and I sometimes look for the complaint department, is how the very people who have the most sometimes, I mean, they can certainly be very philanthropic and caring,
sure.
But it sometimes feel like they're getting away with robbing the bank and nobody's stopping them, and meanwhile, other people are on the street homeless. So I have a big complaint about that. But on the other hand, if you look at it from the point of spiritual growth,
mm-hmm.
The guy on the street can grow just as much spiritually as the guy with $1 billion, and perhaps easier because he's not cluttered with $1 billion in his
exactly.
face.
It's
he's
a lot
cluttered
easier
with,
if you don't have anything to hide or protect. Yes, you're
right.
That's right.
You've got one thing to do, grow and evolve and help others.
Yes.
So
right.
I'm an optimist in that way, especially also with the economy, but it's things are changing. People do want to let go of the security they've had. But the only way a system can reestablish itself is by the old system falling apart. And that's what we're seeing in systems all across the world, economic, political.
And that usually hurts.
It does hurt because we're afraid of what we don't know. You know?
Well, it's the fear of the unknown. You know, we're comfortable with the devil we know rather than the devil we don't know. And I think that's very true in almost any kind of dysfunctional family, shall we say, or dysfunctional situation. People don't
That's
want to
true.
Because they're so afraid that it's going to be worse than what we have. And
right.
But I think, I'm hoping we're going to do it within I don't see it becoming a bloody mess, do you?
No, I don't see it become a bloody mess, but I see it more of a political frustrating mess as things...
Yeah.
Push harder and harder on each other on which side of the politics or the social agenda
right.
you find. But bottom line, it boils down to this, no matter who you are, what situation you're in, it boils down to your own relationship with yourself, your friends, your family, and God.
Right.
And that's
right.
what's really important. And you can have everything or nothing, and if that's working, the world is smiling at you and you're smiling back.
Yeah, well, you're feeling good. That's healthy and healing.
Healthy and healing. That's it. So we have a lot to learn about that. But it's time we woke up collectively and individually to the fact that, you know, there's bigger priorities than our cars, our houses, our riches, our place in life, living up with the Joneses. You know, we really have. Europeans have learned that a lot because they've had so many wars for centuries. They finally got to the point of having a more enlightened perspective, you know, more social concern, more care, more humanitarian.
This last war did it, I think, because there was the devastation was so wide and so deep and so lasting that somewhere, somehow, the word came down, not again, no way, Jose. So I think that's where
We got to protect our people. We got to protect our countries, but they do it in a different way. Rather than arming up to the teeth and fighting each other, they're helping each other be a healthy society.
Well, this is important, and this is what we all need to do. Okay, well, give one more time. We're getting close to the what I call the witching hour when we have to say goodbye, but we've got a few more minutes. I know that. I'm sorry other people didn't call in. I would have thought some would have called in. I'm so sorry. But it's their loss, and that's the way I look at it. Anyway, those who had to call in did. And I'm glad we've had this conversation. I'd like to have you on again sometime, if you wouldn't mind.
My pleasure.
Oh, my pleasure. Good.
I'd like to remind your viewers of my contact information if they're interested in knowing about Lippmann's. Again, my name is Gary Wimmer. I go by Gary L. Wimmer because there's another Gary Wimmer around here who goes by Gary W. But Gary Wimmer, my website is GaryWimmer.com, or you can go to GaryWimmer.com/psychic. Go to my homepage, click on the psychic page, or just go to /psychic. Phone number 512-707-0836. You can find information about how I do lithomancy, rates and everything else on my website. And I'm very generous with time. The times I put on there, I stretch. You know, if I say 35 minutes, it can stretch into 45 minutes. I basically want to provide a good, honest, ethical, helpful service to people. I'm not trying to squeeze anybody or take advantage of any situation. If I can't be a good service, I don't want to be there.
That's exactly the way I feel about things, too. But at any rate, this is Phyllis Pricer from the Higher Dimensions, and we're looking forward to having you again as a guest in the future, Gary. And next week, our guest is going to be Beth Ann Elian, who is called the Bathtub Psychic, and she is a psychic and works with animals. And she's a really neat lady and has some wonderful stories to share. I'm Phyllis Pricer. You can contact me, area code 202-387-2080, or through bbsradio.com. And I want to thank BBS Radio. God bless you all. And Gary, we'll be talking to you soon, dear.